This morning's message is taken from the book of Galatians, and it's entitled Sowing and Reaping, or the subtitle could be Life is Like Planting a Field. So as you look with me at the book of Galatians, look with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, the book of Galatians, as you and I read through the Bible this week, we got to read the whole book of Galatians in a week, which is really cool, because Isaiah seems to be lasting forever. And it was nice to get one just sort of done. And you and I are in Ephesians now, and we'll finish that up this week. But the book of Galatians is all about a new way of life. It's a life based on grace rather than the law. And maybe a way that I could illustrate to you that the book of Galatians is like the Emancipation Proclamation. One of our most famous Illinois citizens was Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, who remembers from history what that was all about? What is that? Yes, ma'am. Slavery. It's slavery. It was a piece of paper that he signed that declared all of the slaves that had been in slavery were now set free. And that's the reality of what the book of Galatians teaches us, is that you and I have been set free from slavery. Now, one of the only good things about growing up in the age of the 60s, where I did, was that the Emancipation Proclamation finally began to take full effect in the 60s. Blacks actually became equal in rights with whites during the 60s. Martin Luther King and a number of other valiant Christian men led a campaign to get that Emancipation Proclamation that took place right after the Civil War finally up to speed in our generation. Now, that may be the same effect in your life. When you read the book of Galatians and you think about practically being set free, it may take some time before that actually becomes to take effect in your life. And it may take some activities by other people to bring you up to speed to what that is like. But here's the reality. Jesus set us free. We're not enslaved to sin anymore. Here's the bottom line. You and I live by grace, not by law. We're free people. Now, I decided that for my wife's sake, I'd give you the bottom line right up front. The cat that caused the audience to in this message is for you to see that I will reap what I sow. It's a law that whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. And to begin to enlighten you to sow good seed. Now, there's a number of ways I could have went with this message. I've heard this passage taught a number of times in the context of all the wrong things that you sow. And I thought, well, good grief, I already know the stuff I mess up, and you probably know the stuff you mess up. Let's talk about the good stuff that we don't usually think about. So we're going to talk about good seed. And the bottom line is I want you to be who God made you to be. Now, I read the passage to you a few minutes ago in Galatians. Here's what it says in the Message Bible. Look at this one. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So, let's not allow ourselves to be fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time you get a chance, let's work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. That reads a little different than the New American Standard that I read you for the offering, doesn't it? But the bottom line is still the same. There are laws of sowing and reaping. Here's the first one on your outline. The first law is you reap what it is you sow. You reap what you sow is the first law. The second law is you reap more than you sow. And the third law of sowing and reaping is you reap in proportion to what you sow. And the last law is you reap in a different season. Now, let me try to illustrate those laws to you a little bit. Now, what is this? It's a kernel of corn, isn't it? Right? What do you do with a kernel of corn if you are a farmer? You plant a kernel of corn in the ground, don't you? And then from that kernel of corn, these are actually ears of corn that the combine behind my house missed when it combined. And it doesn't look like a very big ear for a harvest, does it? But this is the reality of what grows from that one seed. Can you see this on a stalk of corn? Two ears. And how many kernels do you suppose are on that, Clarence? 1,000. Yeah, you're pretty close. 1,107. Yeah, you all laugh because you know I didn't count them. I'm not that much of a detailed person. But see, you reap what you sow. So if I plant corn, then I'm going to reap bananas, right? Right? No. If you plant corn, you're going to reap corn, right? And you reap more than what you sow. Now, this year, the farmers are going to complain because they didn't reap enough, aren't they? But the bottom line is they put one in the ground and they got 2,000 back. Pretty good return, I'd say. Some years they get 3,000 or 4,000 back for one, and that's a better year. And that's why we have all these big buildings around us with all the corn stored in it, because they got so much no one wants to sell it cheap, so we store it. You know, maybe we'll make it into gas, I don't know. And you reap in proportion to what you sow. So if I put in one kernel of corn, I'll get two, right? If I put in 10, I'll get 10. If I put in an acre, I'll get an acre. If I put in 100 acres, I'll get 100 acres. Is that making sense? So the more that I plant, there goes one right there. The more that I plant, the more that I'll reap. Now then, if I plant that corn right now, when do I get the two ears? Tomorrow? The next day? The day after that? It's a while down the road, isn't it? That you get it. You don't get it right now. Now, Jules brought these for y'all. Oh, they're really good because I was eating them last night and this morning. They aren't cherry tomatoes, they're grape tomatoes. And they're really, really good. But there's a whole bunch of seeds in each one of these. And actually, there was more laying under the plant than on the plant after that rain we got earlier this week. But I put in one little teensy tiny plant. And all of us will get to eat off of it. Everybody who stays for snacks, you're welcome to have a cherry tomato. And in each one of these, there's a multitude of seeds. If you bite it, they squirt all over. You have to pop it all in your mouth or you get it all over you. But the reality is, from that one plant, a lot of things grow. And when I put them in, I could hardly wait for them to get mature so that Joshua and I could go out there and eat them. But you got to wait, don't you? Well, it's the same way in the laws in the spiritual world. Whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. And the more you sow, the more you'll reap. And you reap in proportion and you reap in a different season. Now, let me ask you this. Now, you may think this is a silly question, but how many of you know what this is? Yes. It's a CD Walkman. Plays CDs. Now, it works. It actually has a praise CD in there. I didn't bring the headphones, but it actually works. Now then, what if I took that out into my garden and planted it? And then, in a different season, I'll have a bunch. Right? When my kids were little, we had a big ditch out in the front driveway. And we would go out there and plant M&M peanuts. And I teased them and said, now, they're going to grow an M&M tree and then we'll have all we want to eat. Right? Actually, they had spilled on the floor and I had to think of something creative to do with them. So we went out and planted them. But is that going to work? No. is it going to work to grow a CD from that? No, because it's a technological object. It's not a biological object. You and I are biological objects, right? And the reality is, when we die and we're planted, that's when the really cool part of life starts. It's not now, when you're just this seed. It's later. Now then, I've been trying to figure out, how do you develop a church? Right? And a church is a biological entity. It's not a mechanical, technological doodad. We can't develop a church by taking mechanical principles and say, if we just do this mechanically, the church will grow. Because this stuff doesn't grow. What grows is you and me. It's the biological things. It's us that grows. And us that has an impact on other people's life. I think that's how you build a church. It's through people, not through programs and stuff. Does that make sense to you? So as you and I think about growing a church, we grow that as each one of us individuals. Okay? Here's an explanation of things that happen in the book of Galatians. It says we can sow law or we can sow grace. You can fill those in your outline. Or we can sow slavery or freedom. That's your choice. Or you can sow to the flesh or sow to the spirit. Those are the different areas that the book of Galatians says that we can sow to. It's your choice. Just like you got two hands, left hand, right hand, two ears, left ear, right ear, two eyes, left ear, two eyes, right, left, two lungs, two legs, two feet. It's really clear from the way God designed you and I, just like the way He designed plant life, that you pick one or the other. You choose one or the other. Every day, every minute, every hour, every second, every millisecond, you choose to sow to one of those two. And I think that law, slavery, and flesh are all synonyms. They all mean the same thing. And the same way, grace, freedom, and the Spirit are synonyms. It could all be the same thing. Paul illustrates it in a number of different ways. It's amazing to me that you and I, living in the cornfield, can understand the law of sowing and reaping. But there are huge portions of our culture who this would make absolutely no sense to. Do you realize that? When we think about Christianity, we must think about it centered on Christ. Because our culture has a direct impact on the gospel and church. There are places in downtown Chicago that if you went to a street corner and tried to talk to somebody about sowing and reaping and plants, they would have no idea what you're talking about. They've never been in a garden. They've never been in a cornfield. They don't understand. They grew up in the city. You know, you want corn, you go down to the store and get corn chips. Right? Where's that come from? I don't know. How do they make it? I don't know. You just go to the store and buy it or steal it. Right? So you and I, as we think about our culture, we must understand that we do these things. Now, let me show you a diagram that'll try to explain to you the laws of sowing and reaping. You see on the left side of here, the sowing to the flesh, you see a zero, and then there's a seasons that count across, eight across. Those are different periods of time, seasons in your life, okay? And you'll notice that as you go from season to season, it gradually gets darker, right? You see how I tried to shade that? It didn't really come up that great on the slide. But it's actually demonstrating to you that as you sow to the flesh, violating God's word, what happens is you end up in unreconciled conflicts with other human beings. And then what happens, you begin to reap corruption. Now, you notice you don't start reaping corruption right away. It takes time. See, we were talking about David Strelow having bone cancer. Well, they think that because he worked on the farm around agricultural chemicals is the reason that he got bone cancer. When I had bone cancer, they say, so what were you exposed to in the military? Reaping and sowing. When you're exposed to those chemicals, it doesn't happen immediately. Right? It takes time to develop. It's the same way with sin in our lives. People think, ha-ha, I got away with that sin because it's Sunday morning, I did it Friday night, no one knew. I got away with it. Oh, no. Nobody gets away with nothing in God's economy. You'll pay. What you planted Friday night in due season will come. Right? So, and what often happens is withdrawal, depression, outbursts of anger, fear, anxiety, sleepless, obsessive thoughts, drug abuse, guilty feelings, shame. Those things are what you harvest from sowing to the flesh in time. Now, here's good seed for a believer to sow. I put this on your outline. Here's good seed to sow. So, also, while we were children, we were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son, Jesus, born of a woman under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has set forth His Spirit of the Son into your heart, saying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So as we look at sowing in our lives, this is the type of thing that we need to sow. God sent, at the proper time, Jesus Christ, to become God in a man's body, to redeem you and I from sin, to set us free from the pattern of sin. So we don't have to live that way anymore. But you must choose to plant that seed into your life. You must choose to accept that offering of Jesus Christ into your life. And then become adopted as a son. Not a slave to sin anymore, but a son of God and an heir to all God offers. Here's the next verse. You see that blank there? What I want you to do is write your name in that blank. Okay? So if I was doing this, it says in Galatians 2:20, I, Wilmer, have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, Wilmer, who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I, Wilmer, now live, I live in this body. I, Wilmer, live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. See, that's the mindset. I have been crucified with Christ. Christ took my sin. I identified with His crucifixion on my behalf. So I, Bill, the natural sinful Bill, was crucified with Christ on the cross. I died with Him so that I could now experience His resurrection life through my body, through my hirsute. It's not me, the old me that lives anymore. It's the new me, the adopted son, Bill, that lives. And see, you could put your name in there and believe that to be true for you. That would be good seed to plant in your life. Let me try to illustrate sowing and reaping to the Spirit. Now, you'll notice that at this point in time, someone makes a choice, accepts Christ as their Savior, or at this point in time, maybe chooses to believe what Galatians 2:20 says. So they start sowing to the Spirit in obedience by faith to what the Bible says about them. But when you look at the shading on that diagram, is it light or dark? It's dark. Oftentimes, in the darkest times of your life, that's when you'll reach out to God. That's when you'll call out to God because of your great need. And people think, well, I made a decision for Christ. Now my life should change dramatically. It should be all over. Everything should be hunky-dory from here on. But it takes seasons before that planting comes to full growth. Now think about it. Does a farmer buy all that machinery, plant that corn in the field, and harvest at one time, and then, ha, retirement? He's done. Is that the way it works? No! Every year he's got to lubricate that machinery and get out there and plant, doesn't he? And till, and then harvest, so that he can prepare it again, till it again, so he can plant next year, right? See, it's the same way with you and me. We keep sowing to the Spirit. Every season we sow God's truth into our lives. We believe more of what God says about us than what used to be true about us. And as that becomes true, then we begin reconciling our past conflicts. And in seasons, 3 or 4 or 5 seasons down the road, you begin to experience lightness and orderly life. Godly responses. Your love for others grows. Responding with the mindset of Christ. Thinking what He... experiencing peace and freedom. Confidence. Christ-centered relationships and an inner security comes in a due season, but not immediately. And every day we're sowing good new seed, and eventually we'll work our way out of the dark times into the light times. And they get there. I can testify to that. Let's take an illustration from Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. The bottom line in that is what? He believed God. This is all by God's grace through faith. That's how the new covenant works. It's not like the old law where you have a lot of works to do. When I'm talking about sowing seed, I'm talking about believing God, not necessarily doing stuff. Being who God made you to be. And that is a believer. So, an important seed is to believe. You can learn that from Abram. Now, when did he believe God? Early on in the adventure, didn't he? He left the Ur of the Chaldeans. He moved as God caused him to move. And then God showed up and promised him all this stuff. And God believed, or Abraham believed God. And it was accredited to him as righteousness. But as you remember the story, it didn't happen immediately. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23, Abram had 2 sons. One of them was a bondwoman and one of them a free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman was born according to the Spirit. Do you remember that? There were years of time that Abraham waited for God, which is the bottom line. What you need to sow is waiting on God. But his wife got impatient, and he got impatient, and Sarah gave him Hagar, the Egyptian girl, and said, here, make babies with her so we have a son. And he did. And he had the 2 sons, right? Ishmael and Isaac. Now, you and I relate with Isaac. We are children of the promise, children of the Spirit, right? But do we still have impact in the year of 2005 from Ishmael? Oh, absolutely. You want to know why we're in Baghdad at war today? That's why. Ishmael. The people who believe in Islam are descendants of Ishmael. They believe just exactly the opposite of what we believe. They believe Ishmael was the son of promise. They believe Ishmael was the one who went up on the mountain to be sacrificed. They believe Ishmael was the one. You want to know why we're at war with terrorism right now? Because of the sowing and the reaping of Abraham thousands of years ago. Because he was unwilling to wait on God, it has a long-lasting impact and effect on his children and our children. Does that make sense to you? Can you see that? Well, here's the scary part. The choices you and I make today don't just impact us, brothers and sisters. They impact our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, and their great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be infected by the choices you and I make today to sow to God's Spirit or to sow to our flesh. Now, want to know the wild part? Because all of us are a part of this body, the choices you make as an individual, it's not like the world says you can choose to do whatever you want and you're not hurting anybody else. That's a lie. If you choose to walk in sin, you affect all the rest of us in the body of Christ. We are a body. We are an organic organism. We're not a technological gizmo that you can take one part out of. So it has an amazing effect on all of Christendom, what we do in this little Cornfield County church. It has amazing effect throughout history and on into eternity, the choices that we make. So, here's what I'm challenging this soul. Believe God. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Wait for Him. The other day I had on a t-shirt from Camp Adeline. And it has Isaiah 40 on it. And it says, Camp Adeline, a place to wait. And I thought, oh, well, that really sell as a youth conference. We want you to sit around here and wait. Because that's not the way pop culture works, is it? It's all right now. Boy, we got to have instantaneous. We wait 15 seconds for that computer to load up that software. Oh, my goodness, it's eternity. We got to learn to wait on God so that. Wait on Him. Talk to Him. Trust Him. Believe Him. That's what I want you to sow.